a warm welcome to the Blue Tune Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. On this week's episode, we look back at Saturday's defeat at Dumbarton, preview this weekend's visit of Stranraer, and with quarter three now over, we'll be discussing how the season has gone so far. Yes, welcome along to this week's episode of the Blue Tune Podcast. I am Colin Byers, and with me is our Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you this week?
Evening, yeah, not too bad. How are you?
Alright, a bit of a delay there. I thought you were... I thought it was going to be that bad. You were going to say, no, I've had enough already.
No, there's not a delay here. Well, leave that my way, though.
yeah, not too bad. A busy weekend. I had a quiz on Friday night, came fourth, so quite pleased with that.
Out of?
Fourth is all you need to get.
So it's fourth out of four? Okay.
There was about eight teams in total, so, you know, top half. It's quite pleased.
Top half, big. Kidding you in your competitive nature, you're disappointed to finish fourth.
Well, I was totaling up the scores as we was going along, because we obviously keep a sheet as to the answers that we put in. I reckon we were 2 points less than fit we should have gotten, but the top three were that far ahead, and anyway, it wouldn't have mattered anyway.
It's like a Scottish Premiership then.
And funnily enough, it's the same means they keep winning as well. So it is much like a Scottish Premiership. Obviously, it's a fit one Saturday, and then the Bairns fit one started again on Sunday as well. So yeah, it's all in all, quite happy to get back to work for a wee rest.
That was a break this Monday then, was it?
And I tell you something, that the pitch that the Bairns played on was absolutely sogging. But it was just as I think it was probably better conditions in fact that it was doing at Dumbarton, which was a bit of a horrendous pitch to be playing on. And the funny thing is as well, we were telling away doing as well, that they had, obviously despite the fact that they played Stranraer last weekend, and obviously we've seen the highlights, the Stranraer highlights, but you see the state of the pitch, there were still three games played on that pitch during the week as well.
That's incredible. Yeah, really. I mean, going by the images on Saturday, the pitch was absolutely horrendous. Mm. Although, generally, there is parks up here that are in better condition than that. And obviously, it got worse as the game went on. So, pretty poor to still be allowing folk to be on the pitch throughout the week.
Yeah, and I understand maybe like the community side of things, and it's used for other avenues, income wise, etc. But surely, as it was pointed out, there's as many pitches doing the Astro pitches and things like that. They could have maybe just asked whoever was using them then, just to like, can you maybe try one of those instead?
Yeah, give the pitch a bit of a break. I mean, fair dues, if there's only 2-3 weeks left of the season, you can sort of limp over the line, but, you know, we've still got a whole quarter to go yet. So I'm surprised that there's been so much usage on a pitch that was already struggling for last week. And then you put on, you know, your game on Saturday plus the games in between. It's a lot for the pitch to take this time of season.
That'll obviously bring the arguments of, you know, plastic pitches, Astro pitches, these fancy hybrid pitches and stuff like that. Would suit Dumbarton? Obviously, that's obviously going to be a cost if they were to look at that.
Yeah, it's weighing up the cost, is it? Kilmarnock can obviously... Yeah, it was Kilmarnock, Livingston. There's a few in the top flight that have got it, and, you know, I think folk are trying to get away from that. We've seen how many games have been postponed at Livingston, and their, there's all-weather purpose pitches that they're called, and it doesn't really quite work, and you don't get the bounce of the ball the way it should be as well for a player. So I think grass is better, but yeah, maybe just limiting the usage might have been a wise decision looking back on it now.
Well, maybe look at drainage more than anything else, but you know, that's something for them. But so obviously set up this game then, we'll get onto that. It was a 1-0 defeat. I mean, we're getting excuses in early about the pitch, but it was a horrible pitch. It was a horrible game. It didn't... The pitch itself didn't lend to being a good game.
No, from what we went doing earlier on the season, both teams tried to play football. And even tonight, Dumbarton came up here last month, both teams tried to keep the ball on the ground and played decent football. But that pitch on Saturday wasn't conducive to it. Both teams were going to struggle. They weren't going to be able to play their normal game. It doesn't lead to just a route one sort of game and trying to dictate where the ball goes in terms of bouncing as well. It was just that it was a difficult pitch for both teams, but then that is the argument. It's the same for both teams, and you know, Dumbarton has managed to come out winners in the end.
And I think that maybe because of the state of the pitch maybe lent into the team selection slightly. There was just the one change. Jordan came in for Conor O'Keefe. Ryan didn't do any warm-ups, although he was named on the bench, obviously coming back for his injury. O'Keefe obviously has a bit of a history with injuries as well. You know, that maybe has come into their mind with their team selection not risking people with more injuries.
I think anybody that was a doubt before the game, you'd have maybe turned up or you'd gotten the heads up on Friday about the state of the pitch, and you'd have probably thought to yourself, that player aren't going to be playing. As you said, Ryan's a slight, you know, he's named on the team sheet, but at no point did you think he was going to come on. And I'm no surprise, looking at the state of the pitch, you can quite easily twist something or go over your ankle, or you know, you're making a run for it and you slip, and these things will happen. But when you can try and alleviate a bit of that pressure on yourself with the team and your selection, then I think they got it right.
And it was the same back four that did play the previous week. Obviously, we had Caleb Goldie and David Wilson was our centre-halves, Danny Strachan and Flynn Duffy as the full-backs. By the end of the game, though, we were essentially playing with four full-backs because David Wilson came off injured, along with Rory McAllister and Peter Pollitt as well. And Jordan Armstrong was playing at centre-half. So, you know, you're not risking the ones that are coming back from injury, but you know, we've picked up another three injuries, probably because of the state of the pitch.
Yeah, 100%. I think it was 2 weeks ago, maybe even last week, we're sort of saying that's players now coming back from injury. Okay, with Alfie suspended, but your players coming back, you thought now we've got the squad depth again to try and kick on for the last quarter, and now we've picked up little niggles and strains, and you know, they can be up to anything up to 2 weeks, so they're going to miss another two games. And also, we're all fully aware of Peter's injury woes that he's had over the last 18 months as well. So, difficult one to take, not only with the pitch, with the scoreline, and then you add in a few injuries as well. It sort of made for a miserable afternoon.
And Hamish Ritchie was another one that didn't start. Maybe may well have started had it been not been for the pitch, but was kind of forced to come on once Rory went off quite early on. And suddenly, you know, the game was changed a little bit. He probably had the best chance of the first half, which was blocked out for a corner. But even with somebody with his ability, was struggling to get to do anything with the ball because it was so bobbly. The bounce was so varied. You just didn't know what the ball was going to be doing.
Yeah, not really a surprise. You can hear the best players in the world playing in a pitch like that, but when it is as bobbly and as sort of boggy as what it was, it doesn't make for pretty fit. But it can just take one bounce to completely throw your pass or your challenge, whatever it is, you know, screw with, and it doesn't happen. I don't think Hamish would have been expecting to come on so early either. Obviously, with the injury to Rory, another injury to add to the list at the moment. He probably wasn't expecting to come on, or if he was, it would have been in the second half. So again, his plans and the way he goes about the game changes. I think overall it was a difficult afternoon in terms of, as I said, the pitch and with the injuries that we've picked up.
And the setup, as I said, with the one change with Jordan coming in, it was set up as a 4-5-1, 4-3-3, depending how you sort of look at it, if you're gonna glass half full or glass half empty kind of thing. But you know, definitely set up as a 4-5-1 without the ball, 4-3-3, you know, with the ball as much as you can. We Shanks playing on the left. And to be fair, you know, Rory was winning a few headers, but I just sometimes when you're playing with that width in a 4-3-3 or a 4-5-1, the bodies aren't getting to Rory quick enough to get one of those head flicks.
Yeah, we mentioned it, it was a few weeks ago now, when Kieran, he started off, can't remember the game off the top of my head, but he started off on the right-hand side, and it didn't really work, and after 20 minutes he sort of pushed closer to I think it would have been McAllister at that time as well, but he was just saying, when Rory's getting the flick on, do you need players running about him? And I don't think putting Kieran wide left or wide right suits him. I don't think it suits the team, if I'm being honest. I think Kieran's very much a striker that even if he's nae playing or nae scoring as much, he's got to be up there. He's got to be in and around the goals. And he's got to be playing with McAllister a lot closer than what he is or what he was doing on Saturday. That's not a criticism of Kieran. That's just not the way he was asked to set up and the way that Ryan and Jordan wanted the team to set up in that 4-3-3, 4-5-1 sort of situation. But for me, again, if you can, McAllister doesn't quite have the legs now to run in behind. I think it's a lot easier now for defences when we're only playing with one up top and McAllister to push their defensive line a lot higher. And then I think we struggle for it as well.
It was kind of strange because also we know that Dumbarton tend to play with a back three. So you'd have thought maybe the thinking was having the two wide men was maybe try and force their centre-halves to go a little bit wider or at least try and push their wing-backs further back. But you're obviously then almost got like a 5-3 up at that end of the park.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good logic. I guess it's one of them. It works when you've got the ball. When you don't have the ball, it gives them a very easy out. At times, when it's naive and things like that, it's just... I don't know... Like I said, I think Keenan's got to be a lot closer to McAllister if that's the two they're going with. It maybe works if you've got somebody like O'Keefe that's up there, but then your whole game plan will change in terms of how you get the ball up to him. Because O'Keefe, when I win all the headers in the air and then try and win the flick-ons, he would need the ball into feet. Again, a situation like Saturday, you couldn't do that. So again, that maybe sort of forced their hand a wee bit in how you'd want to play, but I think you've got to be a lot closer with your top two, in my opinion.
Yeah, and you're also then asking your midfield to get as forward as quick as possible as well. You know, with a midfield three of Andy McCarthy, Joe McKee and Peter Paul was more central this time as well, and obviously Paul would be the one that would break in behind the lines if you like, and Joe's obviously the more disciplined. Andy McCarthy is a bit more sort of box to box as well, but I just again maybe just didn't see enough bodies going forward, helping out McAllister at the early stages.
No, I'd agree. I think you always think of Peter Paul as well when you say splitting the lines of being almost like dribbling. He gets the ball and he tries to drive forward. Again, that pitch isn't going to do it. So you need to be able to change it up. And whether it was a direct ball up to McAllister, but he wins the ball, there's nobody close enough to him because you've got almost like your box-to-box with McCarthy, your defensive midfielder with Joe McKee, and your two wide players, that they're not close enough. It's almost like it would have to be a 4-3-3 and a narrow three up top to try and get anything to work. And then I guess you're probably using your full-backs to try and drive on and give you the width. But with that pitch, I mean, Dumbarton found a way to do it, even by their goal. It was very direct, very route one style. And I just think at times we struggle with a plan B in certain games.
Yeah, and as you said, we knew our game and the philosophy that Ryan and Jordan has been trying to implement this season is a passing game, you know, passing out for the back. It's nae for everybody, as we can tell by watching some of the games, which is fair enough. You can't please everybody. Certainly that pitch wasn't going to lend to that, you know, that passing style. You then go to the opposite side of things. Well, if you then need to put it long, McAllister was winning his fair share of headers. As I said, wasn't then getting maybe the support quick enough. And then once he goes off, you then left with Kieran Shanks being the central man. And again, we've talked about this a few times. He's not going to be winning all those headers as strong as he is, and as much as he likes to kind of try and hold up the play. He's a different player altogether for Rory McAllister.
Oh, 100%. I mean, like we said last week, you can never question Kieran's work rate and determination, but it's just maybe a skill set of his that you would immediately look at Kieran and go, yeah, he's a man that can hold the ball up. He'll give everything. It's just maybe his strength. And it's not a criticism of the management duo. It just is one of them things that we need a plan B at times, and Saturday was a prime example of it. Our philosophy, as you said, is the passing out for the back, and you know, I say you get the ball wide, that's what you try and do. But that pitch wouldn't allow you to do it. And as I said, Dumbarton found a way to get around it and get over it, and obviously they came out with the 3 points. Where our game plan evidently was getting the ball up to Rory and get support up to him. It didn't happen. Rory then goes off injured, and then your whole, again, I guess your game plan has got to change, and that's when you need plan B and plan C. Does it then become a case of, like, you need to put somebody else up front because that's Nick Kieran's best skill set? Is that a case where you need somebody with a, you know, that's taller up there? Hey, that's up for Ryan and Jordan to come up with the answers. But probably the first time being properly frustrated with the way the game plan went as well.
And that's the thing as well, when you say putting somebody else up top, excuse me, that we really have only got the two out-and-out strikers within the squad. You know, Rory and Kieran, you know, we've seen Robert Ward play up there a little bit. We've seen Keith play up there as well. But I think if you look back on it, the transfer window, once Aaron Reid goes back to Aberdeen, it was an opportunity maybe to bring in somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody agrees it was probably the right decision for Aberdeen, Peterhead and Aaron Reid, and that, you know, on a personal level, for him to go back to Aberdeen and then subsequently went out on loan again. But you maybe do need, I mean, even when you look across our squad in general, there's only a handful of players that you go there, you know, with the height that they've got, that they can do something defensively and offensively. We are certainly in the face of a small squad in terms of the height, but I think you do need that different dimension up front, because if McAllister goes off and he's out for a couple of weeks, then I think we're a very easy team to play against. And I think teams have sort of found to suit this last 3 months, I would say. It's maybe even back into Christmas time, I think we are a very easy team to try and defend against, and if we didn't get our noses in front, then we struggle to break teams down as well.
And if you look at Dumbarton's back line, look at Stenny's back line, for example, they're all big lads, you know, they're big, strong guys, they're experienced guys. You look at where, as I said, that we're back line, that we end up having, you know, Caleb is probably one of the smartest teams at playing at centre half. We've got David Wilson again, maybe not the tallest either. Armstrong a little bit more inexperienced at this level as well. So, you know, all these kind of things are something that they might look at in the summer time and say, well, it's maybe not just a bit of a case of just getting players that can play on the deck, but it's, you know, sometimes just a basic big strap in centre half. I mean, you look at Sean Crichton, for example, and say, other, and I mean, he was bullying Kieran Shanks on occasions. Sometimes, obviously, a lot, especially second half, a lot of times Shanks wasn't getting the decisions. A lot of the times he was getting fouled and there were obvious fouls that were being missed, and we go back to maybe what we said a couple of weeks ago, maybe he's starting to get a bit of a reputation for you know, going down too easily. But the refereeing Saturday was really poor in picking up these kind of things, and as soon as that kind of things go against you, these experienced players like Crichton will be able to use that to their advantage.
Oh, they relish in it. One of the guys I always stick to my mind is Sean Dillon at Montrose for a couple of years ago. He just knew how to wind up players, midfielders, or little nudges and little things to annoy the striker. And yeah, Kieran will come across that as his career goes on. There will be strikers that defenders that he struggles to play against, and they'll be able to wind them up. And that's why you maybe need somebody like McAllister, but 5 years younger, that similar type of striker, somebody who can just ruffle up a few feathers as well. And that's maybe something that Ryan and Jordan will look at for next season as well, being able to have that plan B and different players that can shake things up.
And you mentioned the goal alone. I mean, it was a game, it had sort of 0-0 written all over it. I mean, it was sort of petering out to nothing. It was going to take something special to break the deadlock, and unfortunately, fair Peterhead perspective, it was Dumbarton that got it through Michael Ruth. And to be fair to Fraser Clark, when we previewed the game last week, he says he was the guy that was on fire. But we're trying to wrap him up in cotton wool between now and the end of the season, because he's the kind of guy, he's the guy who's going to get in the goals. And right enough, it was a really good goal for him, really good finish.
Yeah, really good finish. He's sort of off balance as well. Don't want to admit it too often, but I think the referee made a good call there. Okay, he's gone against us, but it looked like he was going to give that a foul. He's let go in our second, and Barton's Ruth's taken a shot, and then they've scored for it. But yeah, from your point of view, probably too easy. It's taken a bounce, maybe even team two bounces. Danny's sort of been done with the striker faking the overlap as well, so he didn't go and close him down. Caleb allowed the ball to bounce. Just a few things, and also if you let the ball bounce in a pitch like that, it could literally go anywhere, any bobble. Disappointing the way they've scored, but I guess that's when you didn't go in, and we've said that a few times, when you didn't go and meet the ball and you allow it to bounce, we cause ourselves a lot of problems.
And that's where we come down to experience again. You look at Caleb, obviously it was a bit slow to react to the second ball, which was won by the Barton player. We knocked it on to Ruth. In that kind of position there, you think, well, if you're not going to win the ball, make sure the opponent doesn't get it either. Maybe if you give up a foul or something like that, just do something.
Yeah, it'd been a decent area to give up a foul as well, especially if it's for that area. You can set up well, but then they got to score directly from it. And it's just those little things. If you're not going to win it, you make sure the striker doesn't, or the midfielder, the runners, you block them off, you take the foul, you take the one for the team. It's an experience. That'll come in time. You know, he's playing at centre half last few weeks rather than being right fullback or left fullback. Completely different positions to play in terms of how your mentality is. And that'll come over his career over the next couple of years.
And we did have a chance right to death. Danny Strachan, it was who had it. He really has to score. There's no sort of sugarcoating it or try to come up with an excuse. He can't even be on the pitch for this one. It was just one of those, you know, 6 yards out. He's got the goal at his mercy. He really should just be hitting the net. But he's ended up blutering it right over the crossbar. And that was really our one and only chance, clear-cut chance that we created all game. And it was right at the end, again, having gone one down.
Yeah, that's a chance yet again to pinch something right at the end. Do you put it down to adrenaline? But on nosebleed for Danny getting in that area, a really, really good chance. Jordan mentioned it in the post-match as well. Danny's disappointed. The team's disappointed it didn't go in. But when that's your only real chance in 90 minutes, I think the cause for concern slightly deeper than your fullback missing a chance like that. It's we didn't create enough. We didn't look like creating. And yes, you can go back and say, well, the pitch wasn't conducive, but it was the same to both teams. And you need to try and find a way and digging out a result. A point there on Saturday wouldn't have been a bad result. Then I think looking at where scores had gone, but again, Jordan touching it, you look at our form now. It's only 2 wins this calendar year. And given how well we started the season, was it 2 wins, 3 defeats, and the rest have been draws? So your form now goes from being okay with draws, and then if you've gotten a win, to looking reasonable, to now, well, the other draws might come back to haunt you because your form's been good and you've only got 2 wins this calendar year. I know we're just into March, but we have played a fair few games and maybe a slight concern creeping in.
Yeah, and the draw probably would have just kept the gap between ourselves and Dumbarton as well, but it just gives them a little bit of hope now to catch us. And funnily enough, you know, by the time we play on Saturday, we could well be fourth because obviously both Spartans and Dumbarton play on Tuesday night. So obviously we're recording this on the Monday, so we're not getting exactly where we're at, but by the time you listen to this, we could well be sitting fourth. And that's that, you know, a few weeks ago just seemed to be unthinkable.
Yeah, I think a lot of folk maybe outside the team have sort of been a wee bit fixated on, right, can we catch Steny? We've said for a few weeks now that, well, we didn't think the title was on, even, okay, we beat Steny in January, and you thought there was a slight sniff that it might happen. Then you followed up with a draw, and you thought, right, okay, that's title done. We need to focus on the playoffs. I still think we'll get in the playoffs, but I think it's important that the form that you go in the playoffs as well, you want to be in good form going into it. And we're form just now really patchy. You know, you look at the table, it's no wins in 5, but you're sitting second. Again, teams have got games in hand. As you said, by the time we play in Saturday, we could be doing the fourth. And it's a case of, well, how's your mentality? If it's the thoughts in the dressing room, how's morale? And you don't want things to start unravelling. You want to keep that positivity that the first quarter was really, really good. Did it maybe lull us in a wee bit of a false position? You don't know, because the form since then, you know, it hasn't really been that great, was it? Everybody got caught up with the hype of the new season and everything, and we were just on that crest of a wave and things were going well, and then we've hit a rocky period and we've sort of struggled. First time for Ryan and Jordan as well, you know, being the management duo, how are they finding it? There's a lot of questions to answer. Are they concerned at the moment, but you want that form to pick up pretty quickly.
And it's the sort of lack of chances, lack of goals that we're getting as well. I mean, Saturday, prime example, only 6 shots on goal and just the 1 on target as well. And that's a concern, because obviously you can't win games if you're not scoring goals.
Yeah, exactly. The start of the season, we were taking our chances and we were creating quite a few as well. And I guess if you are only maybe taking, you know, creating 4 or 5 chances but scoring 2 or 3, your ratio is still really good. And at the moment, it's just not quite there. Yeah, I'm sure you guys are working really hard in training. We've gone through a period of playing quite a few games as well. You know, the third time that a week of playing 3 games with inside a week. Injuries, they're not letting up just now either. Obviously, picking up another 4 on Saturday. So, you know, I feel like a team we've got to have for the game coming up. But yeah, just the form. I think, you know, you could see Jordan was disappointed with it on these, the disappointment on his face already on Saturday when he's doing his post-match. That's maybe just reflective of the whole team just now, a wee bit deflated the way things have gone, but hey, I'm sure we'll bounce back.
And we look at the third quarter, as you say, we, you know, we played 2, drawn 5, lost 2, scored 12, conceded 12, and picked up 11 points. Compare that to quarter 1, where we won 6, drew 1, lost 2, and scored 18 and conceded just 6 and picked up 19 points. That's 8, and obviously 8 points of difference between quarter one and quarter three, and even quarter two. You know, we won 4, drew 1, lost 4, scored 13, conceded 12, and picked up 13 points. So actually, the concern is that we know we've gone from 19 points to 1 quarter to then 13, now down to 11.
I think the worry would be you're also scoring less and conceding more.
Yeah.
Which is never a good thing for a football team. But look, I mean, we're missing key guys. That can't be understated as well. We're missing Scott Ross, missing Jason Brown at the back. We've said it for weeks now, the experience that they've got. Brian Strachan's been out for a couple of weeks as well. All 3 of them, you would probably hazard a guess, if they're all fully fit, they'd be starting. So again, the experience you've got for there. Kieran's confidence, I can't, he scored the other week, but again, putting him wide on Saturday might not have helped things. Who knows? We'll find out over the next couple of weeks whether that's worked or not. But yeah, there's just little things. I don't think we're too far away from it. It's just little things that we just maybe haven't quite got the break of in recent weeks.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where you think you're getting everybody back, as you said earlier on, and then all of a sudden, you know, Rory goes off early, then Pollock goes off, and then David Wilson goes off as well, and you think to yourself, Jesus, that's just, you know, another 3 players doing.
Yeah, I mean, Hamish Ritchie, he had a purple patch at the start of the season as well. Every time he came off the bench, he was scoring goals. We're missing Jack Brown just now as well. Really key, influential player in that wide area. I think him and Danny Strachan and Caleb Goldie have done really well the last couple of weeks. And an attacking sense when Goldie's been at right back. So, hey, these little things, you're hoping to ease over the next couple of weeks. We've still got a whole quarter to go. And if we can get in a good bit of form going into the playoffs, then, yeah, I think things will be looking rosy again.
And you look back at, obviously, as I said, we started off pretty well. And I wonder if we go back to the Scottish Cup tie against Ayr, and obviously we were 1-0 up, you know, going into that game we were in good form, 1-0 up quite late on, and obviously then conceding quite late, and then conceding again in the extra time. But since then, we've played 14 games and we've only won 3. Drawn 6 and lost 5, and I just wonder maybe if that cup tie maybe had dented us a little bit. It may be purely coincidence, I keep going back to that cup tie. Had we gone through that game, maybe things might have been a little bit different.
I'd never thought of that, actually. I mean the way the whole thing came about as well, the deflation. Not only in the stands, but for the players as well. Yeah, maybe psychologically it's been one of them things, and then now you look back and it, we've conceded more goals since that game. I think it's just a combination of maybe the form taking a dip combined with injuries. Mm. Some of the performances haven't been good. You know, Ryan and Jordan have admitted that, especially up at Elgin at Borough Briggs at Christmas time. And then also there was the 4-4 game just before Christmas. Performances wasn't good and we struggled. But yeah, looking back, it maybe is one of them psychological things that is, there is a few young players in the team and, you know, how they're coping. But this is when you're looking for your experienced guys to look around the dressing room and try and pick your younger players up.
And one of the other telling things as well, in that 14 games, only 5 times have we scored twice or more as well. So that kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier on about, you know, the lack of, you know, creating opportunities or scoring opportunities. When you're only scoring once a game, you are at a threat of, you know, especially with the way that we've been recently as well, we're conceding as well. To win games, we then have to go and win, score twice or to score 3 times, and that doesn't seem to be happening.
No, that is a struggle. Like I said earlier on, I do think we are slightly easier to play against now than what we were at the start of the season. I think that the tempo's a lot quicker than we're playing at the start of the season, especially the first quarter when we did really, really well. Compared to now, I think we're quite hard. We'll get a free kick and we seem to go backwards or we go square, rather than the first thought being, how can we get the ball forward? How can we get into the attacking areas? Do we have an overlap? Do we have a spare man in midfield looking in between the lines? At the moment, from the outside, looking at it from, you know, a spectator's point of view, it doesn't seem to happen. I'm sure it is that the guys are working really hard on it, but at the moment, it just doesn't appear to be, you know, coming together.
If we look back to, you know, the very first game, doing it East Fife, you know, won that game pretty comfortably. You know, it was the confidence was high, it was free flowing stuff. You know, we were getting the ball into the right areas pretty quick. Chances were being created, and you think to yourself, Christ, if that's how we're going to be for the rest of the season, we're on a good thing here. But you know, as I said, as the season sort of has gradually gone on, and I go back to the cup game, the confidence in general within the squad just seems to be doing a little bit. We're missing something. There's a key element just nae. There's something just nae clicking.
Yeah, we seem to be missing that wee bit of a spark. I mean, folk are probably listening to this thinking, they are second in the league, aren't they? And that is, I guess, a frustration or even a disappointment. It comes down to how well we played in the first quarter. Yeah. That's why I said maybe earlier on, did it lull us into a full sense of security in terms of, well, actually, where the players are playing above and beyond their capabilities, but, you know, in the grand scheme of things, or is now the league settled down and, you know, Stenny's that far ahead and we've maybe taken our eye off the ball in the playoffs? I don't think that's the case. I think maybe teams have just figured out a way to play against us, whereas in the first quarter they didn't. But, yeah, I think we'll be fine in the playoffs. It's just a case of trying to get that form back and getting the confidence in some of the players that are maybe lacking, as you pointed out a few minutes ago, that in the thought on, is that air game still, you know, the way that game panned out is that sort of just affected a few of the guys in the squad as well.
And obviously, when we put on the stats with the 3 quarters that we've played so far, you know, a lot of folk were sort of touching on what you said there about, you know, if we start the season, we would have taken second at this stage of the season. Absolutely, we would have done.
Yeah.
But again, you sort of, that's kind of masked with the fact that, you know, Stenny went on that brilliant run. We sort of couldn't keep up with them, but now we're at a stage where, as I said earlier on, by the time we play on Saturday, we could well be 4th. You know, look at East Fife, seem to have picked up a little bit, now in 5th under Dick Campbell as well. I know they're, is it 9 or 10 points behind us, but that, you know, that 9 or 10 points could disappear pretty quickly, and I would agree, I think we will still be in the playoffs, but what kind of form are we going to be in going into that playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, we're saying 9 or 10 points. It's certainly not insurmountable. You've got a man like Dick Campbell in charge as well. He knows his way around about the leagues. He's done really, really good things in his career as well. You certainly wouldn't write them off. I think them getting Dick Campbell in was a massive coup for them anyway. But yeah, the form is a wee bit patchy. And I guess it's one of them, if you've taken a 2 wins from quarter one and put one into quarter two and one into quarter three, your form looks a lot better than it is. It's more of a balanced form rather than a trajectory that's going downwards in terms of points with your goals for and your goals against. But yeah, as you said, you're looking for the confidence to come back to the players, because we've got a talented squad, a really good squad. It's a really hard-working group of lads, and you're just hoping it comes right. As you said, we could be 4th by the time we play on Saturday, how's the mentality going to be in the squad as well? Are we looking over our shoulders, or are we looking firmly up to the team in second and trying to catch them? So, yeah, it'll be an interesting couple of weeks ahead.
One positive, I guess, from Saturday before he went off injured, ironically enough, was David Wilson making his 50th appearance for Peterhead. And much like we spoke about Kieran Shanks last week, he's one of those players that, you know, has been around for a wee while. There's an argument that he probably would have been way past 50 by now had he not been punted to punted to Locos this time last year. But obviously we've mentioned that a few times already. We don't need to do that again. But great player to have in your squad. I guess he's one of those players. He's now stick on to be a starter week in and week out. But you know, when he does come in, he does a great job. You know, especially just now with Scott Ross and Jason Brown being missing.
Yeah, Dave had a tough 2023, did he? Especially the way it ended with that horrific injury against Forfar and also being out at Loco. So he's done really, really well to sort of... Okay, you might say that he's in there because of injuries, but you never look at the team lineup and go, oh, that's Davey at centre-back. You always look at it and go, yeah, Davey's at centre-back, we'll be fine. He's mm-hmm. never been a question within the team, even last season when I think he should have been in the team. But as you said, we've touched on that already. I've a very good player, a very good squad player to hay, a good guy in the dressing room by all accounts as well. So yeah, he should be in much more appearances, and I'm sure, obviously, going into next season as well, he'll be sticking around.
Is he one of those players within the squad that's underrated, undervalued maybe slightly, maybe with some section of the sport?
Yeah, oh, I think so. I think we're blessed that we've got really good centre-halves. You know, you've got Scott Ross, Jason Brown, Ryan Strachan. And, you know, Caleb Goldie, he's going through a rough period just now as well, but he'll be a really good centre-back or right-wing back as well. And we're blessed in that area. And I think sometimes Davey does go underappreciated. He's, you know, his clearance off the line the other week as well. Mm. His reading of the game, I think, is superb. Probably, I would think he's up there with Jason Brown in terms of the way he can read the game. His positioning, at times you think he's caught out of position at times in the game, but then he seems to be, all of a sudden, he seems to be that step ahead. I think the reading of the game he's got is second to none. And yeah, to him in your squad, yeah, I probably do think he's underrated by some sections of the support.
And you know what you're going to get from him. It's nothing fancy. It's not what you call a ball playing centre half or you know, a sweeper or anything like that. You know what you get. It's basic stuff. Wins headers. Gets tackles in, as you said, gets clearances off the line as well. The fact that he's one of the rare players these days that wears black boots as well just shows you that, you know, there's nothing fancy about him.
Old school. Davey was certainly brought up with the mentality of, that's your goal, you defend it however means necessary. Yeah. And that actually works for him, and it works for us. You know what you're going to get. You're not going to get somebody that's going to try these cute little passes into certain areas. If he wants to get that ball clear, that ball's becoming cleared, and you push yourself 10, 15 yards further up. And, you know, them sort of defenders these days are, you know, they're dying out in the game because everybody wants to play over the back and play this tippy-tappy fit. But whereas when you've got somebody like David UK, that ball's going, you know, the other end of the park.
And you mentioned his injury towards the end of the year as well. I mean, that was obviously quite a scary one at the time for us in the stadium. So it would have been just as a hell of a lot worse for him lying in the pitch there as well. But he's done well to recover for that, and you know, hasn't it looked like he's had that injury either?
No, and that's massive, massive credit to him. Even his first game back, you sort of thought, well, how's his mentality going to be going up for a header? Within the first couple of minutes, bang, headed that away. I mean, there's never a good time to get an injury, but an injury like that, was it 2 days before Christmas as well? Mm. You know, the worry that everybody had around the club, and then obviously for Davey and his family as well, the way he's come through it at the other side. Obviously, there was a concussion protocol, so it took a couple of weeks longer to get him back. But yeah, a fantastic player to have back in your squad.
Yeah, and you know, he's got a long-term contract as well, so, you know, looks as though he's going to be here for a while as well. And, you know, as you said before as well, you know, great guy to have within the squad and within and around the team as well.
Oh, absolutely. Like you said, he's one of them characters that just gets on with it. Doesn't really month and moan that he's not in the squad. He gets on with it. He appreciates his role within the team, and he very much puts the team first rather than himself, and that's a fantastic quality to have.
So, Saturday marks the final quarter of the season. We're into the final nine games already. Time goes by so quick. It doesn't seem that long ago since we were sort of starting at the beginning of the season, looking forward to this season, but we've only got nine games to go of this league season. It's just going by so quick.
Yeah, like you said, it doesn't seem that long ago where Dean were prepped to go into the new season, and yeah, it certainly had its ups and downs, but you're hoping that as you go into the last quarter, you can make it a memorable one.
Yeah, and that's the thing, it's the final quarter, it's almost just like a nine-game league now, really, isn't it? It's a case, all right.
Yeah.
We think Stenny's pretty much got the league done and dusted. That's a matter of time for that's going to happen. Hopefully, it's not a case that they're going to win it when we go down there on the 23rd. They'll either have won it the week before or the week after, which would be fine. But yeah, it's nine games. It's, dare us cliche it and say it's nine cup finals.
So I'm trying to work out the maths in my head. I don't think they can mathematically win it against us, can they? I could be wrong. If there's nine left, 27 points. It maybe can if we were to lose all three and obviously Stenny win all three. It maybe could mathematically be possible. I mean, that would be an awful way to for us to see Stenny win it. But yeah, as you said, we're now down to the business end of the season. There's nine games to go. And you're starting off this nine with two home games. One away to Stenny and then home again to Clyde. So really, your first four in that nine is three at home. And you know, Jordan touched on that on Saturday. You can't put sort of picture you're going to get on Saturday as well. You're going to get something that's very conducive to playing good football. You've got to take advantage of it. Where home form's maybe been a wee bit sticky, in 2024. But if you are really going to try and cement ourselves in the playoffs, and maybe any worries going into the final few games where you can maybe rest players or give players a little bit of a break if we're going into the playoffs, then these are the games. You know, Clyde, bottom of the table, you've got Stranraer, okay, picked up a good result the weekend and pushed themselves up the table. They come up here, was it November time, gave us a really, really tough game. We're unlucky not to go down the road with something. So, didn't take any team lightly, but, you know, this is, you know, the next couple of weeks will be crucial for us trying to finish second.
And it's weird because you look at Pye and Bovril's form guide for each league, and you look at the form guide for League Two, it's the sides that's at the bottom half that are doing well at the minute.
Yeah, I did see that. I think it was the last week where we sent each other about the form that Stenny were on, and we couldn't capitalise because obviously our form wasn't great either. So, yeah, I mean, maybe we'd have seen Clyde beating Stenny, and then they were 1-0 down on Saturday, and then they were 2-1 up within a couple of minutes. So, yeah, the sides at the bottom are now sort of finding their form. They've gotten recruits in January and strengthened their squads, and, you know, they seem to be doing better than the top half are.
And it's five games at home, four away. Start with Stranraer at home, then he's Fife, away to Stenny, home to Clyde, away to Bonnyrigg, home to Forfar, then away to Elgin and Spartans, and we finish up with Dumbarton at home. It's going to be tough no matter which way you sort of spin it. But I would suggest that, you know, having five home games at the tail end of the season is slightly more favourable.
Yeah, no, I'd agree. I certainly think if we don't finish second, then, you know, it's in our hand. I know that Spartans have got a couple of games in hand, and should they win it, they will go in second. But looking at the, as you said, five at home, how good our home form can be and how well we can play at home, I'd be disappointed if we're sat here speaking about going into playoffs and we've finished third or fourth.
I mean, it could be a really interesting tail end of the season. We've got Spartans and Dumbarton the last two games of the season.
Yeah. It hasn't gone unnoticed that we've played the last two games.
So let's start with Saturday's game against Stranraer, that's currently second bottom. Again, at the time of recording, because they play on Tuesday night, they're playing Dumbarton on Tuesday. So, I mean, ideally for us, you look for Bonnie Rigg to beat Spartans and Stranraer to beat Dumbarton on Tuesday night. But obviously, then it was Stranraer playing on the Tuesday. They're 3 points above Clyde at the minute. It was obviously their form starting to turn a little bit. They could be coming into this game either buoyed by a good win, another picked up 3 points, or you know, really struggling for form.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing is delighted that they're going to be playing three games in a week. And we also will have the week off in between when I got a game. So going into some Stranraer game, you know, they'll have, by the time they play, it'll be three games within a week. Obviously, with that game, it's going to happen on the Tuesday night, but I think Brian and Lawrence will be coming up here on Saturday and they'll be buoyant by the performance that they had up here for the last game up. They've beaten us down there twice this season already. So they'll be, you know, full of positivity that we can get something for the game. And I think we're in for a toughie. And I came that you look at the league table and go that they're sitting mid-table. They could be slightly higher by the time we come to play them. But this is one of them that you look at and you think, this could be a real, real tough afternoon if we're not switched on for the first whistle. Is it proved, you know, last time we played them up here?
Yeah, well, the game up here, we did win 3-2. It was a really tight game. We've lost twice during the road there as well. And to be honest, we didn't play well against them both times during there. But since that 2-0 win against us, they've only had one win in seven, losing four games. So, as I said, the form that they've got at the minute hasn't been great. But that's what we said the last three times we've played them, and yet they've still managed to give us a game.
But if they're previewing the game, they're probably going to look at Peter Heath and go, they've only got two wins in 2024. Yeah. So their form's not great either, and we're sitting at the time of recording second. So, there's a couple of ways you can spin it. I think they were really, really disappointed that they didn't get something for the game from the rug here. Even their manager said that in their post-match interview. So they'll be sort of wanting to put that wrong right. But I think if we can, you know, I don't know how close Jack Brown's back to being fit. Obviously, there's a couple of injuries as well. Is Rory going to be playing? Is he going to be out? But we need to start the game really well, and we need to be positive and on the front foot, I think, to get the maximum points.
Well, yeah, you look at that, the three players that came off. I mean, if they are doubts or you know, potentially not fit to start, we've got Keith on the bench there. Alfie Stewart came off the bench as well, so he's he could be potentially starting. You would think Ryan Strachan would start as well, if he's fit enough to play as well. You know, just give us that a bit of experience in the at the back as well. So we are missing three players. Potentially Jack Brown could be back as well. We're still waiting for Kieran Gibbons to make his debut again, but because of the injuries that he's had this season, it was just no chance that he was going to be playing on Saturday. So there's a possibility that he could even make his debut.
I don't think Kieran would have thanked anybody if Jordan or Ryan had said to him on Saturday, get stripped, you're going on, because that pitch was awful. I certainly would have thanked him. But yeah, there is. We've certainly got a squad that we can cope with a few injuries. It's just a case of how many more have we picked up this Saturday and how long are they going to be. The pitch will be a lot different on Saturday, so hopefully that might, as you said, might allow Jack Brown to come back. It might allow Ryan Strachan to come back into the fold as well. I don't know how far away Scott and Jason are, to be honest. You know, getting them back in the lineup might be East Fife for the game at Steny. But you want your best players to play, and hopefully we can get that Saturday.
Yeah, one man worth to keep an eye on is Tom Orr. He's some of our top goal scorer in the league with 5 goals, and he's scored twice against us already this season. And you know, if we can keep him relatively quiet, I think we'll do well. Obviously, we know all about Ben Armour, scored against us up here. Probably could have come away with a hat-trick the last time as well.
Yeah, he had a couple of really good chances last time up here. I think he did say he was disappointed that he didn't score more than the one. He had a great chance before we actually scored as well, one-on-one when Stuart McKenzie made a save. So, yeah, we kind of got threats. Like you said, their form doesn't really show it, but they've got talented players, you know, through their spine of their squad, and Tom Orr will certainly be one to add to his tally against us.
Yeah, in terms of goals, obviously they're not scoring an awful lot of goals. Only Elgin have scored less. They've only got 28, but we're a team that, you know, aren't scoring as many as either, but we're also conceding. So, you know, for the purists, it might not be a great game, but for, you know, if you're a neutral, you might see a few goals.
See, I thought the opposite. I thought it'd be 1-0 either way. Also, I think it's going to go for us, but we conceded a few just now. We're not exactly scoring much, but then neither are they. And I think it'll be a tight game for different reasons. I think we'll want to make sure we don't get beat back-to-back. I think depending on if it's from our score is on Tuesday, they'll either be buoyed by getting the win or they'll be slightly deflated. And then it'll be the third game in a week, how's the legs going to be as well, especially the second half. So I think it could be a tight game and it could be a goal either way, could swing it.
And as I said earlier on, it's almost like it's a 9-game season. We need to start off well. We need to perform well. We need to be getting back onto the goal trail again and get the 3 points, which is the most important thing.
Yeah, performance now sort of, I kind of want to go in good form, but you want to go in good form by results as well. The results breeds confidence. It's almost at the point now, nay, overly worried about performance. You've just got to get wins on the board, sort of get back up to second. Spartans have got 3 games in hand and Barton have got a game in hand. You'd expect by the time we maybe play on Saturday, we could be fourth. If you want to try and get back up to second, but the way our form's been at the moment, it's very patchy.
Okay, now to join us on the Blue Team podcast for one final time this season from the It's No Easy podcast is Brian Martin. Brian, welcome back. How are things with you?
Not too bad. Colin, just feel pretty chilled about the situation down at Stair Park. I'm not too worried, even though we're sitting second bottom. I'm quite sure, I still think we'll be fine about it. I was just looking at the stats there, some amazing stats for League 2 in the last 8 games in League 2. The best 2 defences, believe it or not, are Bonnie Riggins and Stranraer.
Yeah.
Conceded only 6 goals. I'm afraid to say the other way, both teams aren't scoring goals. So, you need goal scorers to win your goals, your games. And at the moment, we're pretty shy on taking our chances.
Mm.
A couple of shocking referee decisions right now, I must admit that we all go through that, don't we?
Oh, we've all got that. We've all got that. We're away to start the final quarter on Saturday. Can you believe that the season's almost at an end already? It seems to go by pretty quick.
Yeah, I know. It seems so quick, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like we're looking forward to, in July we started off and looking forward to the league. And as you said, it goes so quick when in the final quarter. When after Tuesday night, we played 27 games and a 9-game league now. See who finishes top. Well, I think we know Steny's going to win the league without problem. But the bottom of the league is much more interesting.
How would you sum up your season as a whole? Then I know there's still 9 games left, but how would you sum it up so far?
Well, I mean, I've got to say, I know every. Every team goes through injury and such like. But I've said this before on the programme, Colin, we've not got the squad to cope with injuries. Mm-hmm. You know, we've had this season. You know, after the first, I think it was five games with 11 points, and everything's looking rosy in the garden, and then injury. I think we've had 14 or 15 different injuries, you mm-hmm. know, and we're not going to get the squad for that. You know, I mean, I've just been very, very unlucky. And honestly, I think if we hadn't carried these injuries, we might not go in the playoffs, but we've been a lot more comfortable than what we are. You know, it's been one thing after another. And but that's football, I suppose. You just got to put up with it. But as I say, Stranraer, you know, the wealthiest team in the league, and we've just not got the squad depth. I mean, I think it showed at Dumbarton last week. I mean, we were sitting with a bench of 4, I think it was. You know, I mean, in March, you know, or late April. Late February, you know, I mean, it's ridiculous, really. Yeah. You know, every team that rolls up against us, 7, 8, 9 subs, you know, and they can change it, you know, for the bench. But Aggie's got just, you know, limited resources to change it for the bench.
Mm-hmm.
But I know you can make excuses all day long, but it really has been, you know, a season full of, I think, injuries and very talented young squad. You know, we discussed it. You know, the youngest squad in the league. It's where you are, you know. I mean, a lot of them, I think most of them are 22.
Mm.
I think the oldest player on the park, I I think I get, when Robbo was missing, I think it was 27. You know what I mean? And before that, Darren Lang was playing, he was 24. Ben Armour came on, he was 27. So, I mean, we've got a young squad. You know, sometimes it shows. Mm. I think, well, maybe Ben Tamor could be maybe in late 20s, but 26, 27. So, we've got a young squad, and it shows at times. But, you know, it's hopefully, you know, I mean, the last 9 games, you know, the last 8 games, you know, Stranraer's the best defence along with Glenrothes in the league. You know, but when we're scoring, you know, which is a big difference, you know. And but you know, since the new year, we've really tightened up defence wise, and I still think if the forwards come away with 2 or 3 goals, we'll be absolutely fine.
I guess if there's a sort of set of results to sum up League Two, it's the results between the two sides so far. I mean, we've gone down to Stayer Park twice and lost. You've come up here and it was a really tight game and we've nicked it with a really good Joe McKee free kick. But we're sitting second top and you're sitting second bottom. I mean, if you look at the two games, the two results, you couldn't have picked a difference between the two.
I know, it's crazy. I mean, we've played Spartans, Dumbarton, okay, we're fifth or sixth. You know, and you couldn't tell who's probably the first half against Dumbarton. We are, I guess, admitted he got the shape wrong, but I mean, you couldn't have said if a stranger walked in, who's sitting top four and who's sitting bottom three? You couldn't have said, you know what I mean? Because it's fine lines, you know. And I must admit, Colin, we've had some of our best performances against Peterhead this season. Twice at Stayer Park, we played really well against you. I know you maybe the first time earlier we changed the shape for you and all that, but. Even up at Balmoor, you know, we fought really well, and you know, McKee had a great free kick for the winner. But we played really well again.
But did you make the last game between the two sides then, the 2-0 win?
It was pretty comfortable for Stranraer. I must admit, as I say, I mean, it's fine lines. You know, Peter had a couple of chances, but. You know, I mean, I thought we played really well in the day, especially second half. And you know, but as you say, it's very little between the teams. You know, I mean, you've seen that with Clyde coming away with 3 wins out of 4. Mm-hmm. You know, and beating, you know, some of the top teams, Dumbarton and Steny. You know, I mean, he just can't afford it. And I mean, who would see that after we beat them and stay apart? And,
yeah.
We thought, well, that's us 11 clear. But fair play to Clyde. But, I mean, as strikers, Jordan Allen has scored, you know, 2 or 3 for them. You know, and they're worth their weight in gold in this league. You know, and I mean, he didn't look too clever, didn't it, Stayer Park, I must admit. We gave him a few chances. But he's been able to prove us wrong in his last 3 games.
You've got a game on Tuesday night before you play us on the Saturday. It's your game in hand against Dumbarton. How do you think that game will affect potentially what may happen on Saturday?
Well, I was saying it to the boys last night. You know, I mean, could Fars, they play East Fife on Saturday away from home. You know, I mean, that is a big, big game. If they beat East Fife, that's probably guaranteed playoffs. Mm. And I thought, well, three games, you know, see hard games, you might shuffle the pack a wee bit. We've not really got the resources to shuffle the pack a wee bit. But although we think maybe we're captain Grant Gallagher's been out since, I think, August, and McIntosh has been out since November, you know, they could be back on the bench, which is all good for Stranraer. And, you know, I mean, on the first half against them at the Rock a couple of weeks ago, you know, we wouldn't have much chance, but as I said earlier on, again, see, they got the shape wrong. Second half, much more even. Probably Stranraer, you know, were the better team. Mm-hmm. I think our goalkeeper hadn't a save to make in the second half. We had a couple of sniffs, but probably Ben Arnold might have done better, but he seen it late. But again, it was another defeat. You know, it's a away record that's really doing us. You know, we just cannot get that win away from home. I think it's 4 or 5 away from home coming up, so. Got to get the points at home, but you know, we play East Fife next away, so you never know. Well, after yourself, right?
Yeah, is there a worry now with it? Obviously, Clyde's got a bit of form. Are you kind of looking over your shoulders a little bit more, or will you see how things go in the next week or so?
Yes, I mean, we've still 10 games to go. You know, I mean, you just need to win 2 or 3, you know, and you're right in the middle of the league again. You know, and I'm not really worried about it at all. Because I think we'll come away, you know, and I think we'll be absolutely fine. I know everybody says, too good to get down, but a lot of really good young players in the team. It'd be a shame if they were in it, you know, in a decider for a playoff to stay in a league, but I don't think we will be. I think we'll be absolutely fine, as I say. And I mean, I keep on saying, I think Bonnyrigg might be looking over their shoulder because, you know, they're actually doing the bottom of the form table the last 8 games, you know, and they're not scoring at all. You know, I think we've scored 6 and they've scored 4. Just a wee bit surprised that they signed Dunsmore there. I really thought that they needed a striker, but they're hard to get. I know that. I mean, I think Martinuk is well clear for them in the scoring charts, but he scored about 9 penalties.
Yeah, that does help, doesn't it? So Saturday then, long trek up the road, up to the northeast. Then, what are you expecting? How do you think things will go?
I was looking at the table, and I don't think there'll be a lot of goals in it. I think McAllister, I don't know whether he's out long term. He took off yesterday. I don't know what happened to him. I think that's a blow for you boys if he's not playing. Even though he's getting on years. You know, he's a really good player for this level. You know, and maybe you can tell me, you know, how he is. But I think it's a blow for you boys.
Yeah, it was. I think more the pitch that we were playing on at Dumbarton. We had 3 came off injured. So whether or not they are more precautionary just because of the pitch, or whether they are going to be a longer term, I guess we'll know in the next couple of days. But yeah, McAllister was definitely one. He did seem to be struggling a little bit with his hamstring.
Yeah, I mean, after 25 minutes, you know, I mean, it's the writing's on the wall, you'd think, for him, wouldn't you? But I think it'll be a really tight game. I'm not travelling this weekend. I've had a really busy month. I'm going to Eastern Ram on Tuesday night for the live stream of the game against the Bat. So I'll give Peter Reid a miss. I'll give the wife a rest for travelling. I don't mind it. She's not too fussy about it.
It's vital. It's one of those weird ones because form isn't great for both sides, but there's still that anticipation that it's a big game for both.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you'll be looking to consolidate. I can't say that word. You're looking to keep your playoff place.
Yeah.
And we'll be hoping to jump. I mean, if we win on Tuesday night, you know, and manage to get a point up there, I mean, that's probably in the middle of the table, you know. Mm. As I said, I was watching Forfa yesterday, you know, and it was a real slog. I mean, the more they get, when they get a man sent off, you know, it's like, you know, they put everybody back nearly. Rustin McLean, who hardly get a kick of the ball, by the way. He was really had one of his, I mean, as I say, our defence is really tightened up since the new year, but he was enormous yesterday. And I mean, once they seen they're only going to get a goal, ladies absolutely went deeper and deeper. We just couldn't find a way through. There's a great chance late on, but we missed it, so just a point. But I think that point wasn't a bad result. Actually, I mean, I know that point at the end of the season might prove vital.
Yeah.
You know, so I wasn't okay, I like 3 points, but I wasn't really down in the dumps because of, you know, a point.
Well, Brian, always a pleasure to talk to you. It's been great to discuss things over the course of the season. It's been interesting to see how different our fortunes have been. So it's been good to have you on. I hope you've enjoyed your 4 appearances on the podcast this year.
Yeah, absolutely loved it, Colin. It's been great stuff. Really, really interesting to appear on somebody else's podcast. Apart from it's no easy. It's really good fun.
Yeah. Well, that's what it's all about. I always listen to you guys every week as well, so keep up the good work. Hopefully, and take this the right way, of course, so hopefully we are not playing each other again next season. Then I need to see you next season because hopefully we'll be up.
Oh, I'm quite sure we'll still be in League 2. I'm very confident, Colin.
All right, Brian, cheers. All the best.
All right, thanks, Colin.
And that is it for this week. We do hope you have enjoyed it. My thanks goes to Brian Martin from the It's No Easy podcast for joining me to preview Saturday's game against Stranraer, and to Martin Smith for being here as always. Thank you everyone for your comments and questions. Do keep them coming in. We do appreciate them. Martin and I will be back again next week. So until then, stay safe and we'll see you all again very soon.